Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Hey, buddies. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time now for the Mike McCarthy press conference up there at the Ford Center at the Star, brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Amongst your Cowboys news today, Tank Lawrence multi-week injury. Broadus's his guy say yeah. It's the L word.
Liz Frank.
Ooh, Liz Frank can be
tough.
Is that like a hairline fracture in your foot? Or that's a bone in your foot. The Liz Frank bone. Okay, so we'll hope for the best on that. And then what do you know about Micah Parsons right now, Brian?
They're talking about after the bye on that one. That you're going to miss two games, and then you're going to go bye, and then so you'll be back hopefully for San Francisco.
Little high ankle situation going on for him. So that's, you know, 3-4 weeks or so before you're able to get back after it. That's tough break for the Cowboys. I mean, the good news is how much worse could the defense actually be? And we're about to find out.
Yeah, we're going to find out. Hopefully Marshawn Nealon can step up here. Carl Lawson, we'll see if they look for other moves. I mean, I know Hassan Reddick, that thing's gotten ugly with the Jets. And I know a lot of Cowboy fans. I saw Clarence Hill, Fort Worth Star, well, not anymore. Now he's with DLLS, but put out, go trade for him. The issue with Hassan Reddick is you got to give him a contract.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Cowboys are probably willing to do that when they're about to pay Micah Parsons.
Gang of Seven gave me 3 practice squad guys that you can go poach. So what? Maybe at what time? 4:40 today. What I got today?
Yeah, 4:40. Krusty's Corner. Yeah. Nice. We want to go shopping for some future Cowboys, some replacement players.
I got 3 guys that my Gang of Seven gave me.
You bring your best 3. I'll bring mine.
Yeah.
Are these eaters again?
All eaters.
Let them eat, man. They need to.
I love it.
Got to get that defensive line getting after it. Okay, speaking of linemen, I know the Cowboys didn't have the best offseason, but they did one thing that I think smart championship organizations consistently do, and that is, Wolchuk?
Draft offensive linemen.
Well, they drafted offensive linemen, and what else did they do with offensive linemen?
What else did they do?
They let 2 starters go.
Oh, they let Biadasz walk.
Yes.
And Tyron Smith. Which I was surprised that they did that.
I was surprised too. You know, I thought
there was emotion there.
If you wanted to go for championship, your best bet was that Tyron Smith's pass pro and staying healthy would allow Dak to operate from a clean pocket. You know how he cooks when he does that. And maybe, you know, one of the reasons scoring is down this year or their offensive efficiency is down is they let Tyron Smith go. But as Sports Illustrated points out here in this article, this is Kobe Skillern. About 10 hours ago, Cowboys fans should be happy you didn't re-sign this future Hall of Famer. Actually, going into yesterday's disastrous Week 4 matchup against Denver, in which the Jets somehow lost 10-9, and I no longer think Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback, by the way. I began to watch quite a bit of that yesterday.
He
just doesn't have the quickness. It's kind of like Russell Wilson, where you're like, he needed to be able to get, set, and throw, and now he's like trying to get and throwing off angle just way too much for his old bones to be able to be explosive like he was. I mean, that was bad. And we saw quite a few of those games late in his Packers career, especially in the playoffs. So maybe it shouldn't be a surprise, but I was holding out that Rodgers could be good. But maybe one of the reasons he's not is the play of Tyron Smith. Going into the game, he'd allowed 3 sacks, 4th worst in the league, also committed 4 drive-stalling penalties, which ranked 9th worst. Mm. Like, our guy Tyron is certifiably bad at this point.
Mm.
He allowed only 2 sacks through 13 games last season, suggesting there's a chance he might have performed better had he stayed with Dallas this season. And, you know, throughout his career with the Cowboys, Smith had just three seasons where he gave up more than three sacks and two additional seasons where he allowed exactly three sacks, which is incredible out there at left tackle. But he is now approaching 34 years old and perhaps, you know, a little long in the tooth. All those injuries have finally caught up to Big 77, and you hate to see it. But, you know, on that same note, heck of a job by the Cowboys avoiding it, having that guy play for you. We do have Texas Rangers keep him or take him to a non-kill shelter coming up at 4 o'clock, and we will recap everything that happened this season and take a look at key free agents. Okay, Cowboys are 1.5-point dogs to the Steelers, guys. As we start to get our first look and our first thoughts on this game, of course, Brian's going to break down the film Wednesday and Thursday. I'm not sure what to expect, but I do strongly believe that the Cowboys are in the bottom third of the league, and I would imagine the Steelers are in the top half. So I'd say that's fairly accurate. I think the Cowboys are probably going to struggle to score and stop a very focused Steelers running game. Like, you know how Mike Tomlin keeps making the playoffs with bad quarterback play? It's paying attention a lot to the opposition where they're weak and coming up with a game plan to exploit that. So, you know, I don't foresee myself picking a Cowboys victory when we get to our Football Friday. Going in, starting the week, what are you guys' thoughts on it?
I feel the exact same way. I certainly feel like the under is going to hit in this game, whatever that is going to be. I don't imagine either team scoring much more than 20 points. 20 points probably wins you the football game, but I think that the threat of Justin Fields on the ground is for real. He's not a great quarterback. They're not pushing the ball down the field. There's not much explosive passing plays to speak of. Their rushing attack, I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson now in the mix there. And we'll hear some quotes from some Colts players in regards to the Steelers, who they beat yesterday. So you'll now have Steelers off their first loss of the season. Cowboys trying to figure things out without Tank and Micah. I would feel strong the Steelers can find a way to win this one.
So the one thing is the Steelers offensive line is also completely decimated.
They lost another starter today.
They did. James Daniels, their starting guard, is now out for the season. So their rookie offensive tackle, Troy Fontenot, who they drafted out of Washington, is also done for the season. So they've got a whole side of their offensive line that's completely banged up. So you've got your two best ends out. That kind of matches up. But I don't know how the Cowboys plan to block TJ Watt. I mean, Terrence Steele deserves all the praise in the world. He was fantastic against Brian Burns. Maybe he does end up having a good game against TJ Watt. I think he's going to absolutely eat Guyton's lunch the majority of the game. I think he's going to, even if Guyton has some success, TJ Watt's just so IQ smart. He'll find ways to get Guyton off balance, whether he needs to rush inside, outside, the hand fighting. He's going to be able to find a way to win there. Their defense is really good. I'm worried about the Cowboys' ability to have any type of serious offensive production. You know, the running game's been a challenge. But Justin Fields, I think your best trade is he turns the football over. I mean, the fumble he had yesterday where he's running around in the backfield for 20 yards and he tries to go down, but he's not touched, then he ends up fumbling. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like, what are you doing? An NFL quarterback doesn't do that. So at times he's putting the offense on his back and he's having some beautiful balls to George Pickens down the sideline, and then he'll run in the red area. The running element of him is certainly what terrifies you, but you got a quarterback that'll turn the football over. Maybe you can find a way to give yourself some short fields and create some opportunities offensively that way.
All righty, G-Bag Nation here at 877-881-1053. We're just hanging out with you. If you have any questions or thoughts, the truckwreck.com fan text is open for you. We're standing by for the Mike McCarthy press conference. 336 wants to know, if Damone Clark can't grasp the linebacker position, could they use his athleticism at edge, Brian? That's an impromptu Ask Brian Anything.
Yeah, I think actually if you want to know your best pass rusher for those linebacker guys, and by the way, the Mets just won game one, so that puts them
into the postseason.
That puts the Mets into the postseason. Your best linebacker rusher is Overshown. When you look at how I think, to me, there's going to need to be some ways Mike's going to have to adjust. We talk about double A gap blitz. He tried last week to bring Lewis off the edge on a slot blitz. So you're going to probably see more of those types of things. My gut feeling is last year at Notre Dame, you watched the Notre Dame film, Leofau had three sacks. So he's going to have to come with some creative ways to to bring some pressure, but I don't think it's going to be move Clark. I think it's going to be from depth and try and blitz you that way and see if he can make things happen.
All righty. What reasons do you have for optimism here after the first four games, sitting at 2-2, second place in the division? Blogging the Boys has put some stuff together here. DallasCowboys.com's Kyle Yeomans put this together. Five reasons to be optimistic after the first month. And, you know, I think right now you're hoping to find enough young players that, along with your core stars, you can imagine that when these guys are in years 3, 4, 5, that, you know, they can be the foundation of a great football team. And number five is the steady play of Cooper Beebe. At the quarter point checking in, Brian, what would you say about the rookie out of K-State?
I would say that if you look at the offensive line, the way it's currently configured and the way that they're playing right now, I would say, if I had to power rank them, Smith, Beebe, Martin, Steele, and Guyton. That's how I would rank the five linemen. And I have Beebe over Martin right now. Martin's looking very mortal right now as a player, but the bar for him is so high that you're starting to see pressure, you're starting to see some missed blocks, you're starting to see him get a little overpowered. But Beebe has done a really, really nice job. Now, last week against Lawrence, they double-teamed the heck out of Lawrence in that football game, and that's what they had to do. But that left Guyton out by himself there at the left tackle spot for a lot of single blocks. But I think BB's done a really nice job when it comes to when they do run the football and they do have some good plays in the middle. It's usually because of BB and then also, say, a Smith or Martin being able to, like, double team in order to let the ball cut back. So he's done a really, really nice job.
Out of the five starters, only Tyler Smith has a lower pressure percentage on the 162 pass blocking snaps that Cooper Beebe has been in it at 4.3%. So that's freaking outstanding. I asked on X last night, how much better would the Cowboys be if Derrick Henry was your running back? And, you know, I think they'd be, I don't know, maybe their offense would be 10, 15% better. But, you know, the conversation turned into, with a lot of Tolos out there, about the Cowboys offensive line and a lot of criticism for Terrence Steele, and some suggesting it should be Tyler Smith at left tackle and Guyton at right tackle, BB at the center as your offensive line of the future. What would you guys think about that?
You know, as the future, now they've got Steele under contract, mm-hmm. but I could see maybe down the line with Guyton having played right tackle at Oklahoma, you know, this year's draft class, if for some reason a tackle falls to you, you really want to do that? You really want to strengthen that group? I think that's a way you could improve there if you wanted to. But honestly, I think that the offensive line's played pretty damn well through the first 4 weeks of the season. I've been impressed. And to your question about Henry, I think the offensive line run blocking is what's really impressed me. I think they found something with these combo blocks inside.
Yeah, the Dallas is never going to be able to run the ball on the edge with the way it currently is, unless it's a jet sweep or they, you know, toss it to, you know, get Turpin in there or something like that, or CD. It's the only way. Everything is going to break behind the center. So that's where you need these combination blocks with the Martins and the Smiths, and then the backs being able to break.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Off that.
And it's up to Mike McCarthy at the Ford Center at the Star. Here we go.
Whatever you want.
Hey, Mike. David Moore, Dallas Morning News. Talk a little bit about just the impact of losing two players like Parsons and Lawrence, and just how collectively you go about replacing players of that status.
Well, I mean, it's definitely the unfortunate part of our game. Definitely too tough for, you know, what those two guys mean to our football team, and especially being in the same position. So I think all that is the obvious, you know, part of the challenge. But you know, this is what this game's all about. This is what this league's all about. You know, it takes a lot of players to win in this league, you know, week in and week out. So it creates a great opportunity for others, and that's really our approach. You know, obviously we're going to have to make some roster adjustments. We're still kind of working through that. It's part of the reason why I was running a little late here. Just, you know, we had a personnel meeting and things after some of the player meetings we had today. So we'll make those adjustments as the week goes on. But, you know, end of the day, it's our job as coaches to make sure we got a heck of a game plan for our players to go to Pittsburgh and to get the win.
You and other coaches talk about next man up in this situation, but again, when you're talking about the magnitude of those players, isn't it more of a collective, everyone just has to be more disciplined, do what you're asked, and you know.
Oh, you've answered your question, I think, or was that an opinion?
No, it was a question.
That's it. I mean, it's not like we're going to take one player and put them in and give them the exact same responsibility and, you know, in reps, you know, that Micah had or with D-Law had. So it's going to be a combination of things. And, you know, and you let the game plan bring that to light. And because, you know, it's very important, you know, when you have the 49 players up on, you know, on the game Sunday that everybody contributes.
Clarence Hill, All City Dallas, just for housekeeping, can you – your understanding, what are the exact injuries? Is D-Law, is Frank, and what is your timeline you've been told?
Well, I know D-Law is, it's, you know, whatever you want to call it. They've been calling the midfoot sprain. Some people use the Liz Frank. Obviously, there's different categories and so forth. The specifics of it, that's, and frankly, I think that's more for him to answer. I know the second opinion is completed. I was told that prior to coming in here. So it's going to be multiple weeks. So I think clearly, you know, we'll get, past the bye, we'll see where we are.
What are you going IR?
We're still working through that. Like I said, just came from a personnel meeting.
And Parsons, it is just high.
He's in a boot. You know, it's an ankle sprain, and so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, he'll be challenged to make it this week. We're preparing to play without Micah. So,
Mike Todd Archer with ESPN. Are there any parallels to draw when of the significance of these guys and who they are to losing Dak a couple years ago to the thumb and
absolutely
overcoming all that as well?
Yeah, I think it's obvious. I mean, when you got positions that carry, you know, a little more responsibility on your football team, you know, pass rusher, corner, you know, tackles and quarterbacks and those things, because it does adjust the way you know have to game plan. You know, that's definitely the reality of it. But, you know, once again, this is our game. This is part of the challenge of our league, and you know, it gives others a great opportunity. And it's not just going to be one guy or two guys. We're going to have other guys step up.
What have you liked what Nealon's done in the first month of this season?
I really like what Marshawn's just the way he's reacted to everything. You know, every time we give him more responsibility, he just goes about it with, you know, with the right attitude and great energy. You know, he's a bull and ball full of butcher knives type player. You know, we've cranked up his responsibility on special teams, and he's done a good job. So, I mean, for a young player that's, you know, it hasn't been. I mean, you look at our young offensive linemen; they're playing one position, and know clearly who they're playing against this week and so forth. Where Marshawn he's had a little more, you know, diversity to his job responsibility, and I think he's done a hell of a job with it.
John Machado with The Athletic. Can you give us any update on Kalen Carson and Jerron Bland?
I'm hoping Kalen could, you know, practice Wednesday. That's, you know, we'll see how that goes. But he's making progress. And same thing with Jerron. I know he's gonna be out there with Britt tomorrow, so I'll have a better feel for where he's at.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. How much of a challenge was that for him just to come in and start that second half?
Oh, I thought it was huge. I mean, I just love the way he reacted, and I think it's really reflective of the way he arrived here. I mean, he's just a super competitive young man. Just went in there and battled. Obviously, had the big play at the end of the game. I love what he brings to the table. He's super competitive. In practice, you see it particularly in the look teams, really challenges our guys. So, you know, no surprise to us. But, you know, it's just like anything. You get that opportunity under the big lights, and he did a nice job.
I've been able to keep Cook engaged with everything. You know, he's a veteran guy. Obviously, he wants to play and those kinds of things.
Delma Cook?
Yeah. I'm sorry,
Delma. Yeah, yeah, I mean, he's a hard worker. I think he's a really good fit. I think, you know, clearly there's an adjustment, you know, part that, you know, that he needed to go through, we needed to go through on his arrival here. But, you know, he's chomping at the bit. There's no doubt about it. And that's what you want. It gives us great, healthy competition in the running back room. He brings a lot to the table.
Nick Harris, Forward Star Telegram, and your time with Chauncey Golston, the responsibilities that he's had throughout his time here. What kind of gives you confidence as far as him being able to take the next step as well?
I think it's a little bit, you know, spinning off of Marshawn's, you know, answer. I think Chauncey's done a lot here. I mean, he's played a lot of different positions. You know, he's played the three technique all the way out to a wide nine. So, you know, and he's definitely played in now two different systems. So the technique and how he's been asked to play, you know, more even techniques, more inside techniques. So, and you know, and he's been able to use his length. And I like the way he's adjusted to some of the things we're having him do more of in this defensive scheme. And, you know, let's not forget what he does on special teams too. You know, he's always been that guy. You know, he's someone that you could put in there, as wore a lot of hats since he's been here. You know, this will be a great opportunity for him. He'll be him and Marshawn will probably be, you know, two guys that are going to handle a lot of the responsibility. You know, with these injuries have created. So I love what Chauncey's been giving us.
Saad is The Athletic. Mike, you've talked a lot about what September football is and all that entails as the calendar flips to October. What do you kind of look for in the second phase, the second month of the season as you progress?
I hope we learn from it. You know, because we need to be better. And I'm talking more in the areas of, you know, fundamentals, techniques, and so forth. But, yes, I think, you know, you are who you are. You know, after four games, you know, we've done the deep analytical dives and, you know, it's particularly spent a lot of time on the situationals because, you know, we've had some out-of-balance games in our first four. But I think the biggest thing that, you know, stands out is the, you know, the critical penalties in situations. That's something that we really got need to do a better job of. You know, we're always going to be working on our fundamentals and things like that and want to be better in, you know, more areas than others. I mean, I think that's always part of the normal progression of an NFL season. So you're always working at some degrees or higher than others, and that's clearly reflects where we are after 4 weeks. But we got to be better in the areas, in the penalty areas, because, you know, we've had way too many third down penalties, way too many red zone penalties, and a couple two-minute penalties. And, you know, that obviously affects scoring and obviously affects the opportunity for the offense to have the ball more and obviously affects the defense being on the field longer.
The unscouted looks, how long does that go into the season before everything kind of becomes?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really looking into, you know, I don't think that's much as a focus right now, because I think everybody is now on tape, and you at least have a direction of, you know, who people want to be and how their personnel is being distributed. And I think a big part of the unscouted looks is, you know, how are teams distributing their personnel, because, you know, personnel distribution also leads to, like, particularly on offense, ball distribution and where do you think the ball is going, how they get them there, formation tendencies. You know, I think just like anything, history will tell you that the more that you do, you know, whether it's formations, motions, the more tendencies you have. So you got to stay on top of it. More personnel groups that you use, you know, we use a lot of personnel groups, so we got to be totally on top of what we're doing on each and every one. Especially, you know, the situational football is kind of a filter that cuts a lot of these things and gives you some clarity on you know, what you're trying to get done, and it's no different for your opponent.
Garrett Bodell, CBS Sports. Mike, how much? I know you had the injuries to Lawrence and Parsons, but how much can the improvement shown in the run defense be carried over into a game against Pittsburgh and a run-heavy offense?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's you know, run defense is about the 11. You know, the one thing is, I thought we were clearly cleaner in our fits. You know, our blocking destruction was better, but we have another level to go. We got to get. You know, we got to get the finish. The pursuit and finish needs to be cleaner. I think we can get more opportunities on the ball. So that's what we're looking to build off of. You know, we understand clearly the job that, you know, we did Thursday night against the Giants. But, you know, we need to be better, and we will be challenged there continually throughout the season. We understand that. So that's definitely a starting point for us.
Kyle Yeomans, DallasCowboys.com. Coach, Mazi Smith's starting to really play some good football over the last five quarters or so. How has his game evolved over the last few weeks and taken to the next level?
Yeah, I think you're just seeing Mazi getting more confident and comfortable. Those are two things that I see from him each and every day. So, and not only, you know, I think, in, you know, the production that he's had, but just more the consistency, you know, particularly the nose stunt that, you know, he hit two of those nicely in the game and was productive with it. So so with that, it needs to come to consistency. But, you know, I definitely see a more confident Mazi Smith.
Claire.
I'm not OC, never been OC. There's a lot of talk about pre-snap motion and where you guys rank in that. Can you talk about why you're low in that category and that's an important part of your offense?
Yeah, I've seen the reports. You know, we got a great analytics department. I think I've probably seen all the ones you saw and didn't throw out the ones that are good because, you know, that's part of the equation too. But, I think it was really kind of part of what I was talking about earlier. You know, you got to look at the situationals, you know, particularly on offense, you know, because some of our formation, you know, I was talking to John Park about this yesterday, you know, some of our formation tendencies, you know, you got to factor in. I think we've been almost 3/4 to 2 minutes. So, those are skewed a little bit. But yes, you know, as far as the motions, how much motion we want to do, you know, CDs utilization in motion. You also, I don't know, you know, one of the things the analytics also shows is just the, you know, the yardage that our receivers cover. You know, our guys are, you know, and that's probably a product of, you know, some of these 2 minute, you know, the extra 2 minute, you know, 2 minute offense that we've been in more than the norm for 4 games. So yeah, I've looked at all those things, clearly aware, you know, the windows and, you know, so I've seen the studies, but also I think our guys do a really good job of taking that data and then making sure all the filters are applied, so our information's accurate. And as Brian Schottenheimer and I will continue to visit on it, you know, through today, and that's what tonight's for. And then as we start putting that plan together tomorrow, so those things have all been identified. But I think, just like anything, you know, which you do inside the why is a big part of it. We're clearly aware of our numbers in those areas.
And as offense, do you have to guard against trying to overcompensate for your defense, or is that what you have to do?
No, I think it's I think it's who you want to be, you know. And right now we're not playing to the complementary football that we played last year and really last 2 years. You know, I felt like the complementary football really came into, you know, the formula we were starting to hit it in 22 and clearly was evident in 23. And one of the biggest statistics, and I made a point of it again today in a team meeting, is, you know, our number of plays on the field for our defense from 22 to 23 went down, I think it was 9 plays, you know, or was it 55? Six plays a game. So that's a full game. So when you look at your overall stats in a year, you know, if you're playing 6 plays less a game, that's a full game less for your defense on the field. So we're not there. We're back to 21 right now. So as far as what our numbers look for. So that's where, you know, you talk about third down, it's always a two-way street with me. You know, when I see the defenses on the field as long as they've been, I'm also very cognizant of what the production is on third down on the offense, because our time of possession, we're nowhere even close to where we were last year. You know, that's a big negative for the first 4 games. Those are the things I spend time on, and clearly why are those numbers there? And that's what we're after, because, you know, not only do we want to score as many points as we can, but we do not mind going a long way, because there's a benefit to keeping our defense off the field. So much about time of possession is made on running the football. Time of possession is controlling the football. And, you know, you can do that in the passing game too. So that's where we're not, you know, that's where after the first 4 weeks, our complementary football formula needs to be better. So that's what we're focused on.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
There it is, the Mike McCarthy press conference here on your home of the Cowboys. Tank had a second opinion. Not much changed as a result. Multiple week injury, and they're getting ready to play on the assumption that Micah Parsons will be out. Brian thinks he's going to miss 2 games, come back after the bye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, coming up next, can we have a few minutes for NFL news of the day? Could we be lucky enough for that? And then Dave Raymond's going to join us at 3:40 to recap the final week of the Ranger season. That's coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, Nation. Segment here is brought to you by Soda. That's state of the art. And it's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com. And, of course, the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Dave Raymond's coming up in a few minutes. We'll talk with him, recap the final week of the Ranger season. Mike McCarthy was asked about Dalvin Cook. Did not say much, did he, Brian, other than he's going to keep working?
Yeah, he likes the way that Dalvin Cook continues to work. And, you know, there's, you know, you just wonder, Dalvin Cook being the veteran guy and kind of seeing what's going on with the running game, if he's really, how patient is he going to be? You know, if
I'd want to play.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely want to play. And
preferably with the Cowboys.
That's because you're a fierce damn competitor, Austin. We love that about you.
Thank you.
They just said that everything about him is he's healthy and ready to go and ready to play. So there's nothing holding him back from, you know, but you just wonder, and I'll ask you guys this question, do you think they got him on this roster just as an insurance policy?
Yes, I believe so. They're probably waiting for an injury to happen and then, you know, put Cook in there. But I feel like they don't want to have a bunch of up and down. And you know, I don't think they want to use up Cook until they know they need it, right? Mm-hmm. Let's see how much time we can buy here because Dalvin's not young, right?
I don't think they want to bench anybody. Like, you're not going to bench Rico. Yeah, like Zeke would be the guy to bench, but I don't know that they want to make that type of move just because they have so much deference for him.
Yeah, it's one of those deals. And they know that this move isn't going to absolutely be a game changer for them. You know, it might be a slight upgrade.
I kind of looking at it as maybe give it an opportunity to see if something could be different. Now, they are using Rico Dowdle. There's no question about that.
Right. I mean, yeah.
But all of a sudden, you know, if you tell me that I could get a better version of what I thought I was going to get with Zeke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting Dalvin Cook out there and giving it a go. And if he's not good enough, then just move on from him and go get somebody else.
In an organization that was obsessed with winning, you know, if CY was running that place, then I'm sure we would have seen it already.
This is what bothers me, and I hear this way too much with that crew, is that they say they're a 24/7 personnel department, and I really wonder if they're not. I mean, you know, if they are, because. To me, they're very much a January to April personnel department. You know, that's when we do draft season stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when do you, you know, if you're constantly kind of like, if you're not very good at something, to me, just keep tinkering with it.
Well,
you know,
said.
Kind of go for it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
You know, but if they're just using Dalvin Cook as a insurance policy, he might not be here much longer then. You know,
cause other teams are going to have needs.
Well, yeah, other teams will have needs, and he's got no loyalty to you if you haven't done anything to elevate him and show him you care about him.
I think they're stubborn. Yeah. I think there was a lot of talk about running back. They want to try and show you running back's just fine.
Yeah, we like our guys. Okay, Dave Raymond, TV voice of your Rangers, joins us. We'll recap the final week of the season and more. Look forward to the winter. That's next year on your home of the champs. For now, 105.3 The Fan. Thank you very much, Lucius. Usually we do Krusty's Corner right here. That's going to happen at 4:40 this afternoon. Get Brian's Cowboys Monday thoughts here coming up in 1 hour as our friend Dave Raymond from Rangers TV joins us now here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Good afternoon, Dave. How the heck are you?
I'm great. It's a day off, and we get incredible baseball. I know you guys have been busy with some football stuff and the weekly press conference and all, but we just wrapped up one incredible game.
We're watching it, Dave. We're watching it.
Oh,
that was incredible.
If you're Mets and Braves, did you have a handshake deal going into game one? And now as the Mets, you're thinking we're going to let the Braves win? Is that a thing?
We talked about this yesterday after our game when we were on the bus and making our way back home. Hey, it makes sense, right? Absolutely, you'd want to do that. Hey, let's just make sure we split this thing and we're both in and no hard feelings. But that's just it. They hate each other.
Yeah.
They have hard feelings. Those two teams, there's no way those two teams would enter an agreement like that. That'd be like the Rangers and the Astros doing that. And the Rangers would have an interest in winning and getting to the postseason, and that would be a strong interest of theirs.
Ooh.
But they might have a stronger interest in just keeping Houston out. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like sometimes those relationships are built that way, and I kind of feel like these two teams are there.
What if they had a deal and the Mets are about to crawfish on it? Wouldn't that be something?
I'm here for all awesome. The drama.
Baseball or balsa?
Yep.
This is awesome, Dev. This is a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the Rangers getting back into the postseason run next year. I mean, this year obviously did not go the way that any of us wanted to. You had a front row seat for most of this. It felt just snake bitten with all the injuries. But as you reflect back on the 2024 Rangers, what are some of the things that stand out and then provides you optimism going into 2025?
Well, I think you're right. Zach, I mean, it never got off the ground. And it's hard to It's hard to figure why. And as Boach just said the other day, he held out hope all the way till the day they were eliminated that they might just get hot, that lineup might just take off and it could happen. We've no doubt seen those types of things in the past in baseball, and so, you know, you're never really out of it until the math says you are. But, this year injury is obviously a big part of it. I think that the things that give you hope, and you try not to get too far into the weeds in September and trying to read too much into what you see in September, because it is just like spring training, and not just like, but you have to be very careful with it. At the same time, man, what we saw from Wyatt Langford from start to finish, just the progression from day one till the end of the season, was pretty amazing. Offensively, because it was a rough start, and that could bury a young player. But he stayed with it, and it really seems like he figured a lot of things out. If nothing else, the process of going through that is going to have great value for him over the rest of his career. Because he faced some baseball demons there this summer. You know, that was pretty ugly for a while, and he found his way out of it. So I think that's huge. I think the way Nathaniel Lowe finished the year gives you a lot of optimism, because there were some pretty solid questions there for a minute as to what would the Rangers do about first base next year. And he helped alleviate that. I think you have to feel comfortable that Lowe is going to be okay. Again, when you look back at last year and the injuries, at spring training caused him a late start, which got him behind the eight ball, and he started to do things that weren't helpful to his game. And next thing you know, he's midway through the season struggling. Well, he figured it out, and he got it back on track. So I think things like that give you optimism. And this is a weird one for me, but Adolis Garcia pulling up lame the other day at first base with the knee bothering him, not playing the final game of the season, in a weird way for me, gives me optimism, because I could not figure out what was going on with him all year. It was the only way I can explain it is it was breaking my heart, because he wasn't going after balls the way he used to. He wasn't firing back into the infield like he used to. And I thought, well, it's like the light just went out. What happened? And the reality is he was hurt. He was playing on a bum knee all year, the knee that caused him to miss the last couple of games of the World Series last year. And so now we all know it. It's hurt just a little bit more. He told me yesterday after the game he's getting it scanned today. And my hope is that there's a little something they can do, clean it out, maybe he'll feel better. Because if you can get Garcia back to old Adolis Garcia levels, and then like we're talking about with, Lowe and Langford and some others, you can see this offense getting back in gear. And I think the pitching has all kinds of upside to it based on what we saw at the end of the season.
What were some of the pros and cons year one working with Baskey?
Man, it's all pros. All pros. That guy, here's the only con is that he relies on me sometimes for things like, what time does the bus leave? little simple decisions. That, quite frankly, I rely on everybody else for that. Like, I don't know when the bus leaves. And I messed up so many of his days this summer where I know it's a 3 o'clock bus, Mike. I know. I'll see you down there. And then the two of us ding-dongs would be sitting on an empty bus for 30 minutes. Oh, guess it was a 3:30 bus, Mike. My bad. And so that's the only con is normally I've got somebody holding my hand and leading me around. But Mike's not going to be that guy, and I'm not a good one to do that for Mike.
Dave, I'm going to guarantee you that he didn't pay for one meal that you guys had. I'm just going to say you're going to be nice about this. I'm guaranteeing he didn't pay for one meal.
No, Mike.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Mike, hey, well, how about this? He brought in his famous carrot cake.
Yeah.
A little bit after Easter, he brought in he taught me all about the concept of a dump cake. I'd never heard of that.
Oh,
but
it's fantastic.
He made one and brought in.
You can go on YouTube and get all that, Dave. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I suppose you're right. But that's his love language, man. He brings in sweets and treats for guys. He's but you know what, man? He's just fun. He's just fun. He's enthusiastic. He's like a big puppy dog. And he's, you know, he's got a keen eye and a clever way of looking at things. And it's just, it was a really fresh perspective. I thoroughly enjoyed every night I spent with him there at the ballpark.
Dave, I'll give you a serious baseball question, I think, here. With all the injuries that, you know, that they had to deal with, but then we saw some of the pitchers, DeGrom and others, come back, Rocker, that had to give you a little bit of hope of what's going on with that staff, though, this year, right, or next year.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, much like the Wyatt Langford situation, I think Jack Leiter, and you know, it's not like Jack got to be up here from the start of the year till the end in the way Langford did, but we got a taste of him really early in Detroit, and then he got some other opportunities. And each time we saw, he learned stuff. He and I had talked about it several times, little things that he was learning along the way. And it's really valuable. His stuff clearly is as good as anybody's. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a guy who can throw 100 and he's got a good breaking ball. And so it's there. It's just a matter of him figuring out how to use it, and so that's something that's going to come. And even next year, there might be some bumps now and again, but I think we're going to see a lot of him, and I think he's going to be really good. And Lord knows what we saw from Rocker when he's got his primary two pitches working, that hard curveball and the fastball. Once and again, he's coming off Tommy John, trying to get some of the feel back for some of these things, but my expectation would be that will be back next year in full bloom. He's elite. I mean, that stuff is crazy good. And with his poise and just his personality there, I think he brings a lot. I mean, I was really struck at how unusual he seemed to be. He's so calm. And he walks in a room and he commands a room. I'm like, well, this is the young guy on the team. Even some of the veterans said at one point, they're like, hey, why are we all so intimidated by him? And so then they started to tease him a little bit and come up with some nicknames and this sort of stuff. But like, even the veterans held him in a certain esteem when he'd walk in a room. And I just think that's brilliant. You're talking about a guy who's a, you know, real alpha male out there on the mound. So that's exciting. I think they're going to work really hard to get Eovaldi back, and he'll be huge. Obviously, DeGrom's going to be a big deal. And the sleeper in all this, the guy who continues to slide under everybody's radar, and maybe the best of all of them, is Cody Bradford.
Absolutely.
Man, that guy is smooth. I really love watching him pitch. So I think there's a ton of optimism on that rotation.
The last thing I wanted to ask you about, Dave, since you have a unique perspective on it, but that last series in Oakland, and as you've now had some time to reflect, your thoughts on how that all went down.
Yeah, it's still a source of some sadness and frustration. 9,000 games in Oakland A's history, and that's gone. It'll remain in record books, and it'll remain in a lot of memories in that Bay Area. But I don't think people appreciated how important a franchise the Oakland A's are. I mean, they've had so much great history, given us so many colorful characters, and been a part of postseasons, and that run they had in the 70s, and none of us were, you know, really cogent baseball fans at that time, 72, 73, 74. I was just a wee little fella in diapers, but that's one of the great dynasties of all time. Only the Yankees can claim to have won at least three straight World Series. No other team's ever done that. To me, the sadness is that you're talking about a trust, right? You're talking about, it's not a business that just, it happens to be in a city. It's a thing that's a part of a city. It's a place where people go to share and experience things together. And it just seems so wrong to take that out of a city like that unnecessarily. There are times when you have to do stuff like that. This was unnecessary in my mind. There are a lot of people at fault in this, but at the end of the day, it did not have to happen. That's just the fact of the matter. It didn't have to happen like this, and it's heartbreaking.
Just another way the European model of relegation and promotion is better, because if your team goes bad, you just get demoted. You know, you don't have to leave. You know what I'm talking about.
Listen, Gavin, I'm with you on that. And There was a guy from I don't know if he was from London or where he was from. He was writing for the New York Times, but he came out and he was baffled by this.
Yeah.
So here he is from the New York Times going on in these clubhouses asking these questions. Like, this doesn't happen where I'm from. I don't understand what's wrong with your culture that you'll let a billionaire take these things from cities. It's just not right. Yes. And it isn't.
Appreciate you so much, Dave. Have a great winter, and we'll catch up with you real soon. Talk some Rangers baseball.
Right on. Thanks, guys.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.